before thanking that individual who Yaakov left for me to thank, I want to thank Yaakov because we were talking about this during the summer, and Yaakov was a mamish on fire with this. Like I said the other night, Yaakov was on fire with this, and I was skeptical, you know, and worried about the mamonis and it being a burden and how it could be pulled off and so on. But Yaakov not only has the dreams and the visions, but he also is moitzim and hakar chalapoyal. He makes things happen. And there are no words to express all of our feelings of gratitude to Yaakov Zoldan, to Jeff, for all that he does every single minute. Now, the mystery person, really husband and wife, is Adam and Lindsay Oaken, that they just now, over Yontif, came to Yaakov with an unbelievable, real show of support to sponsor the entire sukkah, and in the most magnificent way. I'm not going to say the numbers, I don't think it's in Yonim, but in a very, very beautiful and significant way. And it should be a gewaldiges chus to be mesamech, all of us, and that we could be together, that Hashem's work should help, that your children and my children and grandchildren, all of our children and grandchildren, all of us together, should be able to sit in the big sukkah, Yishalayim, by the Gula. And it's a schus to have my dear friend of Yeshua here together with me. And now, the other night I was talking to you in shul about the Tzemach Tzedek Sufi Lendi. They made an offer to say a maimer, to tell a story. So I'm thinking maybe not to compare myself to the Tzemach Tzedek, not his toenail, but there are children here, so I'm thinking of maybe to make such an offer, whether it should be a little bit of a mimer, a little bit of a story, maybe a little bit of each. But my wife is not here, so I usually feel a lot of pressure when she's here to rush. But I'm going to make believe that she's here, not to stretch things out. There were a lot of Chabad Nagundim Shlomo was playing. I want to thank also Shlomo, my dear friend Shlomo, and Chaim Dov. There were Chabad Nagundim. So I'll begin. I'll tell you a little thing about what happened with the Fidei Rebbe in Tafresh Memches. He was a little boy, and it was freezing cold. In that part of the world, Sukkot could already be a lot of snow and cold. And it was such a sukkah, Tafresh Memches. The Fidei Rebbe was little. And the Rebbe Ashar was fabrenging with the chassidim in the sukkah. And he had the little future Fidei Rebbe in his lap. Yosef Yitzchak was on his lap. And every Rebbe has a Rebbetzin. So the Rebbetzin of the Rebbe Ashar was very, very upset that the little boy was outside in the freezing cold for such a long time. So finally, so she had asked a few of the chassidim to go and tell the Rebbe, and the chassidim said that the Rebbe knows, and they were afraid to say anything. So the Rebbe walked into the sukkah with all the chassidim. That's your little boy, Yosef Yitzchak. So she walked into the sukkah, and she said in front of all the chassidim, says, we just said, Hal Yantiv, Kirachim of Albanim, Kirachim of Albanim. It's not Rachmanis. It doesn't say Kirachim Aim, it says Kirachim of Albanim. It's freezing cold. It's time for the child to come in. And he had, and the Yosef Yitzchak said that he was making believe that he was sleeping. He closed his eyes, he was making believe that he was sleeping. But he heard the whole thing, but he was making believe he was sleeping. And he said, Eshluft, he's sleeping. She said, he has to sleep inside, not to sleep out over here. So the Fidei Rebbe said to her, he said, the warmth of the chassidim being together is going to keep Yosef Yitzchak warm for the rest of his life. And through that, there are going to be generations of Jews till Mashiach comes that are going to be kept warm. Let him stay. We never have the answers. To, you know, the end. That was the end in the sefer. I don't know if the rabbis like did something. And forget it. I don't know, but that's the story. That's the story in the svarim. And then that sukkah tofresh memches. The Rebbe Oshab, one of the things that he remembered, that Yosef Yitzchak remembered, the little boy, the future Rebbe who kept so many Jews warm, is still keeping us warm. One of the things that he remembered is that his father, the Rebbe Oshab, leaned over and whispered into his ear and said, it's Zman Simchaseinu. Zman, he was very excited. And then he said, Zman Simchaseinu, the Rebbe Oshab said, Simchaseinu. So the little boy said that he remembered thinking to himself, what's my father telling me? I know it's Zman Simchaseinu. And then his father leaned again to him and said, it's Zman Simchaseinu, it's Unzure Simcha. It's our Simcha. Zman Simchaseinu. So the little boy said, the Rebbe said later on, that he thought that his father was telling him that it's his Simcha and me and Mommy. You know, how does the child think? It's like, it's our, he whispered to him, it's our Simcha. So he thought that was really, that's okay, that's our Simcha, Daddy, me, and Mommy, it's our Simcha. And the Rashab, the father, knew what he was thinking, and he leaned again to him, and he said, I mean, it's Kutchabrichu and Knesset Yisrael Simcha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Sukkot, he says, Zman Simcha Seinu, it's our Simcha. And when the Jewish people say, Zman Simcha Seinu, saying about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's our Simcha. It's our Simcha. Think about that, it's our Simcha. Right now, it's our Simcha. Kutchabrichu and Knesset Yisrael, it's our Simcha. So let me explain to you for a very few minutes what that means, a little bit. And I understand because there are children to be makatzer. And then I'll tell you a story that I was thinking about just now when Yaakov was messing up that story. I'll tell you his story. Yeah, no, he's good at what he does. It's like, you do what you do, let me do what I do. So if I would have built this sukkah, it wouldn't be good at all. Yeah. So I'm going to be makatzer, so you have to try to listen quickly. And everything is tied up with Yaakov Avinu, Vayishka v'mokam ahu, Vayolan Sham. I spoke about it a little bit last night. There's a very big difference between Shabbos and Yontif. In the Svarim talk about this, the Inyan of Shabbos is an Aliyas Olamis. Everything that's here in the world descends to the higher world. In the Svarim, we find the Moshul that on Shabbos, it's like a simple, simple Jew all of a sudden finds himself in the Heichal of the King. Like a simple Jew, all of a sudden he's in the palace of the King. That's what Shabbos is like. It's not Leah. Everything ascends. It's not Yosef Abba, again, without going to Kabbalah Zach and Chassidus and things like that. But everything is going up in such a way on Shabbos. So it's like a simple Jew finds himself in the palace of the king. Yontiv is the other way. Yontiv is that the Bari Olam, the three regalim, the Shalosh regalim, Yontiv is that the Bari Olam, the king, goes into the house of the person. Now both of these tziurim, these pictures of Shabbos, which is on Leah, the world's ascent, and on Yontif, when there's a descent all the way down into this world, both of these pictures create within us a certain feeling of uneasiness, a feeling of shame and embarrassment. Could you imagine when this little simple Jew, he finds himself in the palace of the king, Oy la isa busha, Oy la isa klima. He finds himself in the palace of the king and he sees the splendor, the beauty of the king, but he never realized the king that he's not always respected and not always spoken to properly and so on. He goes to the palace of the king. And And he feels so embarrassed. It's a feeling of busha. You all know that it says in the Svarim that boishes, embarrassment, is the oisei Shabbos. And there's a feeling of boishes. When a person is in that place of the Heichel HaMelech, and he comes Shabbos into the Heichel of the King, there's a feeling of boishes, to do tshuva, to feel unbelievable embarrassment, the humiliation. What was I thinking? What was I thinking on Tuesday at work? You know, what was I thinking? What was I doing? So there's a feeling of busha. On the other hand, it's really not so different when the king comes to see you in the house. It's a tremendous kavod. But if it's busha on Shabbos, then yantiv, it's an inyan of klima. And klima means kli ma, means the king comes into this Jew's house, and everything is a mess, and everything is plain and simple and broken, and he didn't make the hachanis that needed to be made for the king. And that feeling of klima, I don't have kalim for the oris, those are the oris of ima, but I don't have kalim for these oris, for the light of yantiv, for the light of the bisamikdash. Coming into my house, the earth, the Beis HaMikdash, into my home. I don't have such kalim. So there's also a feeling of tibrachinkeit, shvius halev, that a deep, deep Jew has, whether it's Shabbos or Yontif, great, great tzaddikim feel this. We're not connected to these things, but big, big people feel this. There's a chiddush when it comes to sukkahs. Sukkahs is one of the amtaim, of course. And the simcha of the Beis HaShoeva, which the ikkar simcha really was outside of the makam, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Shushaf temayim besosim b'nei Yeshua. The sukkahs is different. Sukkahs, we don't go into Hashem's palace. We don't go into the Heichel HaMelech. And the Melech doesn't come into our homes. We meet in a different place altogether. We meet in the Sukkah. The Baruch Hu doesn't come to the house. We don't go to his house. We meet in a simple place. We get together. Outside of his home, and outside of our home, we meet someplace in between. Shlomo HaMelech describes this in the 7th parak of Shir HaShirim. L'chadoi di neitzeh ha-sode. Nalina b'kfarim. Sham eitein es dodai lach. L'chadoi di, my beloved, all the whole story of Shir HaShirim, Chasam Kalev, the doid and the raya, the whole story takes place outside, right in the fields and the vineyards. L'chadoidi, like with Arizal, they used to be makabel Shabbos and Sfas, and you see from the Gemara that they would be makabel Shabbos. L'chadoidi neitzei hasad. Let us go out to the field. Nalina b'kfarim. And it goes on, parcha hasmadar, and neitzei rimayinim. And over there, in that place that's not yours or mine, in the sukkah, in a place that's not yours or mine, Sham Eitein as Doidai Lach. There I will give you, I will show you all of my love. I will be able to express all of my love. I was just mentioning, we ask Hashem for a life, Chaim Shein Behem Busha Chlima. For a life without Busha, without Chlima. Each one of us, when it comes to Hashem Yom Kippur, it's hard for us to be completely besimcha. Even though it's a gewaldige simcha, both days. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a gewaldige simcha. It's galus hamalchus, tshuva, the tahara of Yom Kippur, it's a gewaldige simcha, Rabbi Kiva HaShveich Nisrael, lifnei miyata matam yimatahara eschem. But let's face it, just amongst ourselves, that we're just peasants and farmers without actually knowing how to work on a farm, but we're the modern day equivalent of peasants and farmers. To be in that world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that place, in the palace of HaMelech, in that world of Yom Kippur, it's a pachad. It's Yom and Narayim, Narayim. And we feel the busha. And then when it comes to the Yom Tovim, when it comes to Pesach and Sukkot and Shulis, it's interesting because you know that even though it says in the Torah, we know there's a din of Simcha by Pesach and Shulis, but by Sukkot it says twice, and only Sukkot we call Zman Simcha Seinu. Like the little boy, the Friedrich Rebbe heard from his father, Rebbe Rashab, when he whispered in his ear, it's a time of Simcha, Simcha Seinu, our Simcha. When Kivyochel Baruch Shalom says, I don't want you to think of me as some king, some scary king. I want you to think of me as Mashva Kotten Vagodl, that we're a Raya and a Doi, that we're Chasman Kala, and that we're eloping someplace out in the fields in the Sukkah. Outdoors in the Sukkah, not in the house, not in Beis HaMikdash. Shom Eitein Es Doi Dai Lach. You know, it's so interesting because, of course, there was the Simchas Beis HaShoeir, which the Sukkah there in Sukkah describes in great detail what was going on. Mishle Ra Simchas Beis HaShoeir, Lora Simcha Miyom, Mishav Miruach HaKadosh, and what was going on. And all the Chetzeres of Yishalayim, the whole Yishalayim was lit up with the light of the Beis HaShoeir. It was Mordek and Shav Tamayim Sosim and Yeshua. But it's interesting. Sof Kol Sof, remember, by the dancing of the Simchas Beis HaShoeir, something was funny there. What am I talking about, Chava? Remember, who were the people that were dancing by the Simchas Beis HaShoeir? What does the Gemara say? Chasidim and Anshei Ma'aseh. Meaning the big tzaddikim, the Gedolei HaDor were dancing. And there isn't a void like that, there's a lot to talk about, that's not for now. But the Chasidim and Anshei Ma'aseh were dancing by that Simcha of the Beis HaShoeir by Beis HaMikdash. Means that you and I would have been standing outside clapping. You understand? We would have been on this side clapping, and we would have been excited to see Rabbi Gamliel, to see what was going on. Hillel Azake. We would have been going crazy, clapping and cheering them on. But Sof Kol Sof, we would have been standing on the side. There's something different about the sukkahs that we have before Mashiach comes. There's the feeling that I have, our new sukkah that we have here. The Inyan of Yaakov Avinu that I told you the other night, we were talking about, Ve'yetze Yaakov Ve'eshav Yelech Harana, in a place of Charoin Av, in a place of Golos, Ve'yishkav Bamokam Ahu, Ve'yolan Sham Kivah Shonash. Even though we're not Chassidim, and we're not Anshei Ma'aseh, the Inyan of Yaakov Avinu is that the Baruch Shalom, the Or of the Mikdash comes to us in a place in between heaven and earth, like Joey was talking about tonight, that dance. The dance that we're able to have with Hashem Baruch Hu, he says, where the Baruch Shalom makes himself kivyocha like another farmer, like another peasant, and he's like one of us. And we say to him, Neitze Hasada, Nalina Bekfar, Shom Eitein Es Doi Dai Lach. You don't have to be a chassid, nor nish ma'is, a chassidim, nor nishim ma'is, to be amcha beis Yisrael, that we feel on sukkahs. And sukkahs leading up to Shemini Atzeres, when we're able then to feel proud, we don't feel any more busha nechlima, and then we can go back into the house. And we feel that we're worthy of Hashem coming to us on Shemini Atzeres into the house, because the busha nechlima is not there anymore. Because the Baruch Shalom kivyochel, like, made himself comfortable with us. Whatever that means, because anything that we feel on sukkahs, comfortable with kivyochel with Hashem is Baruch. The feeling of nalina, of being together, of living in that world of Chas Nakala, of Shom Eitein Es Doi Dai Lach. It's the Inyan of Sukkah, so it's Zman Simchas Seinu. So when Yaakov was talking, I thought of a story. I once mentioned part of it, and I'll tell you the whole story. There was a certain Jew in a small village that was involved in very, very, very terrible aveiros. Akedekach, that he was even doing something that's unspeakable, that he was mastering on other Jews. You know what that means? You know, he was informing, he was causing other Jews to lose their panosa and to have tzaras with the non-Jews and so on. And the Rav there of the town didn't know what to do with this person. He was very powerful. He was very, very much protected by the pirates, by the landowner and the non-Jews over there, because he was giving them a lot of information, and they made him into a rich person, and it was very, very bad. All the Jews in that town were terrified about this person. He was destroying their lives. And the Rav there was a little town, it was a little Rav, and he went to speak to two or three of the Tzaddiki Hadar about what's going on, and we need to get rid of this person. But we can't do something to him, because if we hurt him, if we do anything to him, there's going to be a shechita, and they'll make a pogrom, they'll kill us. So we're asking from our town, the Rav came, there were some of the representatives in the town. We're asking you, these were a few of the tzaddikim, we're asking you if you could daven that he should die. That we have, this person's got to go. We can't kill him, but if you, tzaddikim, if you could daven, that he should, that Hashem should take him from this world. And these are big, big tzaddikim. And the tzaddikim spent 3 days davening, working hard for the Baruch Shalom to take this Jew from the world. And it wasn't going. And the tzaddikim were talking to each other, and they each felt that there was an ikuv, that was something that was preventing their tefillahs from working. Because in the town of Jabarish, there was the tzaddik, the Yoshe Divrei Emes Chusik Elayim, Reb Zev Wolf. And they felt that Reb Zev Wolf was running interference on this. Like he was blocking these tefillahs. He was a very, very, very big Oyv Yisrael, the Yoshe Divrei Emes. Powerful tzaddik. And they felt, they all felt, they said, yeah, you felt it, yeah, it's Reb Zev Wolf. He's the one that's messing things up over here. That we can't get rid of this guy. So these tzaddikim went to Jabarish, they went to Reb Zev Wolf, and he knew right away what they were coming for. And they said, Rebbe, you know, this Yid, this Jew, he's a Rasha, Mamash, a Rasha Merusha, the Chaladeus, he's causing terrible, terrible problems. And we're trying to daven, and why don't you let this go through? We feel that this coming from here, a chut shel chesed, you know, some chesed, some love for such a rush. So listen to what he said. And so this might be a little bit familiar, or if you know the Maisa, you know, this is what Reb Zev Wolf said. He said, I know. I understand. And I myself am very upset about what's going on. And I was going to be mishtatif, I was going to join you, without you asking me, I was going to join you in this davening. But then I was saying Tilim, and I came to a place in Tilim, where David HaMelech says, Yavilu Shai Lamayra. Yavilu Shai Lamayra, Shai means a gift, a present. Yavilu Shai Lamayra means, as Chazal tell us, that the kings of the world and the presidents and the prime ministers, when Mashiach comes, they're going to be frightened, because now it's going to be Kel Nekomis Hashem, Kel Nekomis Hefiya, Ki Yom Nokom Belibi, the time of revenge has arrived. There's a Cheshbon, a Shemayim, and these kings and these leaders were killing Jews, tormenting Jews, and stealing from Jews. And the time had come. Mashiach was here, and the time had come for the big payoff, or payback. So Reb Zev Wolf says that, it says in Pasuk, Yavilu Shai L'mayra, Chazal tell us, that the nations of the world, their leaders, are going to have a meeting. Maybe it'll be in the United Nations. It would be a fitting place for them to go. They're going to have a meeting, and they're going to discuss what present can we bring to Mashiach. Shai means a present. What present can we bring to Mashiach to appease him? So, one of the kings said that we'll bring a certain amount of gold and silver, and we'll bring, each one of us will bring from our place gold and silver. And there was a pikeach, one of the kings or presidents, Reb Zev Wolf was saying how he imagines what's going to happen in the future, that one of them is a pikeach, a smart, and he's going to say, what does he need? He can come and take all the gold and silver from us. He's going to be the king. He can take whatever he wants from us. So then another one said a suggestion. No, each one of us is going to take our crown, and we're going to bring each one of us, we're going to put all of our crowns together, and we're going to bring our crowns to Mashiach, as a symbolic sign of giving in to his malchus, and swearing allegiance to his malchus, and so on. So Zev Wolf said that the Bikeh is going to say, he doesn't care about that stuff, Mashiach, about our crowns, there's nothing to him. He can take whatever he wants, means nothing to him. So they're going to be very, very frightened. Reb Zev Wolf said, they're not going to know what to do. So the Bikeh says, the only thing that we could bring to appease him is to bring a Jew, a Yid. Let's find a Jew, and we'll bring a Jew to the Mashiach. The problem, Reb Zev Wolf says, the kings sent all their people to go around looking for the Jews. But the Jews already have all gone back to Yerushalayim. There's not a Jew to be found. Can't find a Jew anywhere. Everybody left. Everybody's gone. Who would stay behind? Mashiach's already there for a while. Everybody went already to Yerushalayim. Everybody's gone. There's nobody there. So Reb Zev Wolf said, I saw there's going to be one Jew who didn't go. This guy, because he's a Rosh. And he doesn't feel he has a shaykhus. And he doesn't feel that anybody wants him there. So he's going to still stay with his friends over here in the village. He's the only Jew. So they're going to grab this. He's a Jew. So they're going to grab this Jew, as Reb Wolf said. And they're going to put him on a beautiful wagon. And they're going to put a crown on his head. And they're going to put a sign on that says, a Yid. And this is the Shai Lamaira, this is the gift that's going to be brought to Mashiach. So Reb Zev Wolf says, and what's going to happen? Can you imagine the scene? Mashiach sitting over there on the Kisei HaMalchus, and all the tzaddikim from all the dairas forever standing around. Can you imagine? And all of a sudden, there's going to be a tumult. And they're going to be these presidents and kings, whatever, and they're all tittering, they're all shaking, and they're carrying a chair with an agola, they're coming with an agola, and they're carrying a chair, and they got this guy, this Rasha, they got him dressed up in an outfit, and he's wearing a sign that says Jew, Yid. All the tzaddikim are going to start laughing, they're going to start making a joke. This is what you're bringing after all that happened, after all you did to us. This is what you're bringing, this guy. There's only one person that's not going to live, and that's Mashiach Tzidkenu. He's Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to stand up and he's going to say, I'm Amish waiting so many years for you. I'm waiting the whole time for you. And this year's going to get up and Mashiach's going to hold him and he's going to tell the guy, this is the best present I could ever have gotten. This is it. This is the present. So Reb Zev Wolf said, you want me to daven for this guy that he should die? That's what I should daven, that he should die. I should daven and he should die. Can you imagine? What's going to be when the wagons pull up and they're going to bring this kid that was thrown out of yeshiva? And the little girl that was asked not to come back to the seminary or wasn't allowed into the seminary. do we know all the future presents the Mashiach is waiting to receive? Do we know? Do we have any idea what it's going to be like when Mashiach comes? On Sukkot, the Baruch Shalom says, this is Zman Simcha Sayinu. I'm not interested in your credentials. There's no busha and chlima. No Jew is embarrassed, no Jew is ashamed. We're together. Netzah HaSod, Elachad Doidi, Netzah HaSod, Nanelina Bekfron, Sham Eitan Has Doidai Lav. That's the Simcha of Simcha's Beis HaShoeva. That's the Simcha of Sukkot. And after all the days of Rosh Hashanah Kippur, we're slichas, where our heads are a little bit down, and we're ashamed and we're embarrassed, and Hashanah Bagana Gazano, all of that is finished, and all of a sudden, we are able to feel that we're being carried in on a wagon, and that each one of us is carried in, and it says on your thing, whether you're wearing a tank top, or you're wearing a Becker shirt, or you're just going bare chested. And there's going to be a little sign that says, a Yid, a Jew. And the Baruch Shalom says, Zman Simcha Sayinu. Zman Simcha Sayinu. This is our Simcha together. The Simcha of Sukkot, the Simcha of Zman Simcha Sayinu. We should be Zoyche V'Ezra Hashem. We should be Zoyche to come to that time. To be able to see with our own eyes, to see the joy in the face of Mashiach Tzidkenu. When all of Hashem's children come back to Him, because that's all that Hashem's Baruch is waiting for. That every one of his children should come back to him. Everyone. This one has a German in his heart. This one has a Russian, a Cossack in his heart. All the Jews, with whatever they have in their hearts and all the confusion over all of the years. It's the greatest gift that could be brought back to Mashiach, that could be given to Hashem's Baruch. We should all be zeichet to be dancing on that day. It won't only be Chassidim and Anshei Maaseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go in the middle of the dance. You know, Jews dance in two ways. We dance in the circle, right? And then, like when it's by the family or the people who are close to the Chasna Kala, then they dance like the Chasna Kala by the mitzvah dance, right? They dance face to face. Because when they're dancing in a circle, you don't really see the person. That's achor ba achor. You don't see the person's face. You're looking at the person's back. That's before the nesiva. That's before the cutting in half, before the separation that led to Adam and Chava being able to see each other. When you really love somebody, you don't dance just in a circle. You dance facing the person. That's the highest dance. You dance looking each other in the eyes, not ever turning away, just holding each other and looking at each other. That's the mitzvah dance of Mashiach. And when that happens, it's not only going to be with the Chassidim and Anshei Maaseh. Hashem is going to say about our generation, this generation that held on to being Jews, with everything we held on to being Jews at this time, it's 100% that the Baruch Hu is going to take each one of us and do a dance with each one of us. Panim al panim, and Shama 18, Doide Lach, with the Gula Shalom, Mitzvah, Mevi, Amen. Amen. Amen.